Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CCW podcast. This is Al.
Hey, everybody. Dagny's here, too.
Hey, welcome to the long-awaited episode 16. We're calling this one a listener feedback.
There's also going to be a range review, and Al had some training, so he's going to talk about that, too.
Yeah, but most of the episode will be Dagny leading the discussion on our wonderful listener feedback. But maybe we should first apologize to our listeners for the long delay in between episodes 15 and 16. I guess we're caught up with the summer bug. We're doing a lot of work and play, and we just haven't had the time to sit down and do a podcast. And particularly one as important as this one is to us, because this is our listener feedback episode, meaning that it's all of you guys and some of the stuff that you've shared with us, your insights, your expertise, your experience, and your support mostly. So all of that stuff is immensely important to us, and we're honored to bring this episode to you guys. And I don't know how we should start. Maybe we should just start with our first. This is not in any order of importance or anything, all of you.
I actually went through the email inbox and just started from the oldest, all the different threads, and worked my way to the most recent. So that doesn't mean that, even that doesn't mean much if some of us have gone back and forth more than others.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, I don't see Andrew there. Andrew.
Andrew from Minnesota was our very first emailer.
Yeah.
Long time listener, the very first. And
I think he sent feedback right after the first episode even, which was awesome. I had no idea what I was doing. I still probably don't. But Andrew was very supportive from the beginning. He definitely deserves the first shout out, I think. Haven't heard from you, Andrew, in a bit. Hope all is going well out in Minnesota. But he is a 1911 guy and carries a Springfield XD. So he's a polymer guy, 1911 guy, kind of like me. And definitely any listener feedback show should begin with him. And Andrew, if you're listening, thanks for the correspondence early on. Your support actually helped me want to continue to put out episodes. So I appreciate your support from day one. And you want to move on to the next ones you have?
Sure. We have Tom in Texas. And some of the more thorough emails we get come from Tom. He's always very, very thoughtful and thorough in what he sends us. He's highly recommended a TLR3 light to go on the Glock slide as an accessory, and we haven't purchased one, but I think it's definitely on our list of things we'd like to check out.
Definitely. I did buy a flashlight, a 511 ATAC, A-T-A-C, A1. I did buy one of those. It doesn't mount on the weapon, but it just is something I leave on the nightstand or carry with me if I'm going to be in the dark. It takes I think a single AA battery. Yeah, a single AA battery. And I chose that model because I feel like AA batteries are very, very common, rather than some of the lithium batteries that you might carry in some of your higher end flashlights. I'm sure you can find plenty of them in stores, but what? I'm sure you can find plenty of them in stores, but I use the AA battery thinking that, you know, they're much more plentiful, much more common, and frankly, I think cheaper. So that's the flashlight I use, and I definitely want to get a TLR3 sometime in the future, just to have a weapon mounted. I think Tom wanted it for us to have it because he uses that as his nightstand gun. He uses it on his Glock 17, if memory serves, and he puts the TLR3 light on it, and he's got a ready-to-go home defense weapon. What else?
He would also mention, you know, keeping an eye on the ammo prices, and I know that we have indeed seen them tick up pretty regularly in the last, what, year since we've really been purchasing ammo and whatnot, so
yeah,
I don't know.
Every time we go to our local neighborhood Walmart, I take a look at the ammo prices, particularly Winchester White Box for 45 ACP. I think it's sort of stabilized at $36.97 per 100 rounds in those value packs. Don't know what it is in your area, guys, but that's quite a bit more than when I was buying them. I bought a lot of them in thinking that the prices would go up, and I was paying about $32.97 at the time. So quite a bit of a jump there, especially if you're shooting a lot and not reloading like me. But that's another story. I should definitely get into reloading sometime.
Next up would be Damien, and another really thorough critique.
I think Damien's in Texas too, right?
Yeah, I don't know if he's ever said outright, but I'm pretty sure he's in Texas as well.
Okay.
And he is very involved in the gun community, doing teaching and encouraging other people to get into carry, and a Glock man, so he was excited when he caught up on our podcast to hear that Al was transitioning to Glock.
Damien caught us, I think, right when we were producing maybe 10 episodes or so, and the great thing about Damien is, right from episode one, he was providing episode-by-episode feedback, which was awesome. And it was kind of funny because a lot of the things that he was suggesting, without him knowing, I had already kind of implemented, including considering the Glock as a carry pistol, and some other points that was funny to me just reading his email, because I was thinking, huh, he's going to really like listening to episode 8 and 9 and all that stuff. And, you know, his feedback was pretty cool because of the fans that we have, the listeners that we have who enjoy our podcast. It's he's the one, I'd say, that is has provided the episode by episode feedback, and a lot of really some of his experience. It's almost like getting an instructor's evaluation to each episode, and it's really, really very cool. He mentioned he's a GFSF member, and he shoots IDPA.
I don't know if he does IDPA. I just know that he talked about the differences.
Oh, okay.
Because he's a Glock armorer, too.
He's a Glock armorer.
So a lot of insights on the functionality of the Glocks. And I think in one episode we discussed how it was more difficult to use the slide stop as a slide release, and it's because in Glock it is a slide stop, not a slide release. I mean, he pointed out some things like that we're just not, or at least back then, weren't familiar with. So, very helpful information.
Yeah, absolutely. And Damien, if you're not from Texas, we apologize. Let us know if we got that wrong. Next up is another one of our longest listener feedback emailers is Ross in Nebraska. He is a very good, we like to think, friend of ours of the show, and he recommended getting a shotgun for home defense, arguing that maybe, you know, 9mm 45 is pretty good on the street, having it carrying concealed. But maybe you need something with a little more oomph in a home defense situation where, you know, one shot stop is paramount. And he did definitely recommend a shotgun. And I've been, I wouldn't say super researching it, but I have been looking into it. And I know enough to be dangerous. I don't know enough to make a decision on what shotgun to buy. I've heard the Mossberg 500 is sort of the standard. I don't know about the standard. What's the word I want to use? It's sort of the most well-known shotgun. I don't know if I'm right on that or not, but it's the one that sticks out. It's not too expensive, and I definitely think that we will be making the leap to either an AR or a shotgun The AAR not so much for home defense until we get a little bit more land, maybe.
Which is hopefully on the horizon too. There's a lot going on.
A lot going on in the Alan Dagny household.
Ross is also very active. I believe he has a range out in Nebraska that is used by the local law enforcement for training.
Yeah, he does. It seems like a very successful man. And Ross, if you're listening, we miss your emails, buddy. So send us an email. Let us know you're all right. And next up?
We had Glenn in Oregon. Contacted us following the Meltappen, the Wisdom of Meltappen episode a few episodes back, talking about the combat reloads, where Al wasn't sure. I think, you know, I was stating Meltappen said you keep the gun pointed at the target, your sights aligned, you use that support hand to reload the new magazine. And Al said he hadn't heard that.
Right, that was my goof, because according to Glenn in Oregon, his experience was that in his training,
and he is a cop, they always, when they practice those combat reloads, absolutely, that's the way you did it, because it saves you that time and effort of refinding your sights and acquiring the target and, you know, keeping your balance, all of those different elements. And he really emphasized that so much comes down to muscle memory. Everything that you do in interacting with your firearm, you know, acquiring those sights, the draw, being able to not watch everything you do and being able to do it from muscle memory, very important. And that's come up from several people.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically, I goofed on that one. And a lot of what Glenn said was absolutely made a lot of sense to me, and definitely reminded me how I'm still learning a lot about everything. And what Glenn said was kind of obvious once he said it, and definitely thank him for that email, because that one, particularly with his law enforcement experience, is even more, it carries a little bit more weight than it would otherwise. So that was Glenn, thank you for that, and we hope you're still listening out there.
Next we have Patrick in Arizona, and he was just very helpful to me, referencing some women's carry YouTube videos. I think in one of the last episodes on the blog, I posted the link that he had forwarded, and I believe his girlfriend carries a Glock 26 in appendix and is starting to carry in like the 3 to 4 o'clock position. So that was interesting to hear. The 26 is one of the weapons for a 9mm that I was interested in, although I'm not sure anymore, but we might go into that a little bit later. But just very, very good. One of the few people that we've been in contact with that has a woman in their life that carries, right, or is interested in carrying. So that was very good to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris, hey, how are you? Hope you're still listening out there.
Chris is in Tennessee.
Oh, excuse me, Patrick. Patrick, I hope you're still listening out there in Arizona. And what a perfect segue to Chris in Tennessee.
Chris was really excited about the Semper Petare slogan, which many of you, when you email us now, include that in your emails, and we're including it in ours. That's pretty cool that it's kind of catching
on. That's very cool, guys.
On.
Thank you for for bearing with that and supporting me and making me feel better.
And just in the course of our conversation via email, Chris mentioned why he began to carry, and there was a time when he was driving home from work, and he noticed that someone was following him, so he called the police, and I believe it was at night. They told him to go to some place, you know, that was open and well-populated, so he did so, and the guy followed him into the place where he went. And luckily nothing happened, but the police didn't show up for around an hour. So he decided then and there that he was never going to be unarmed again. And he carries, I mean, he truly lives the Semper Petare slogan out. He carries in his home. I mean, you never know. I mean, you know, some people might think that's a bit extreme, but I know we have our handguns right by us at home here too, if they're not on us. So just kind of interesting, you know, the story of how we've come to be where we are. A lot of people, I think, that listen were probably raised with guns, and it's second nature, but for some of us, it hasn't been that way.
Yeah, now would be a good time to say that we noticed on iTunes, Pablo, Pablo 911, I think, 911, Pablo 911, I think is his username. He wrote a very kind iTunes review about us and said that one of the things that separated our podcast was that we don't come from the gun culture, the gun environment. We weren't raised with the guns as being part of our lives. It's something that we, you know, right when we started the podcast, got involved with. And I think it was very, very positive, and we appreciate that, Pablo. If you're listening, that made our day, and thank you for writing an opinion on iTunes. We definitely nudge, nudge, wink, wink, encourage you guys to put up iTunes reviews. You could leave bad ones if you'd like. That's cool, too. I don't know why you'd want to do that. but, yeah, Chris, that was awesome. Thanks for telling that story. And who else? Oh, and he's getting married soon, isn't he?
He is getting married soon, I think next month. So we're wishing him congratulations in advance and a happy wedding. David and Paul have reported volume issues, and we're aware of this. We're still learning a lot about podcasting, so hopefully this episode will be better. Hopefully they'll continue to get better.
Yeah, David and Paul are saying that the volume is too low. I think most of that is directed towards me because I think I speak a little softer than Dagny does in the podcast. And so I'm going to try and work on that, and we're going to try and find some programs that would help edit that, or maybe do it in Audacity, which is what we use to kind of put the show up. And we are still neophytes in that, and we're still mastering the recording system. To let you guys know a little bit, we don't have a real professional rig set up right now.
We have a little audio recorder like you'd use if you were recording a meeting, and it automatically saves to MP3, so we don't even have a real microphone, if you will. And it's done really well. I think Al does speak a little softer than me, and we're still learning how to use the recorder we have, but there's also an issue that Paul specifically mentioned, I think, is that our podcast is quieter than all of his other music or podcasts that he has. And so there must be something, you know, on our end that we're missing or failing to understand. So if you are having a similar experience, please let us know if you have insight, if you're kind of into the technology stuff and think you might have a easier fix than buying a whole bunch of equipment. We're more than welcome to hear that criticism and suggestions.
Yeah, if you have suggestions on microphones or digital recorders or software that you guys use that might amplify the sound or make it a little bit crisper or something like that, definitely send it our way. And you know our email address. It's ccwpodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget our blog at ccwshow.blogspot.com, and also our podcast page, ccwpodcast.podomatic.com, podomatic. I always forget that O in the middle, but that pretty much wraps up our listener feedback. We've gotten if we didn't get to you, it's not because we think that you don't have a good story or anything like that. It's just we didn't want to bore everyone with tales from 100 different people.
These were kind of the highlights. There was a ton of suggestions on holsters and different weapons and personal preferences and have we checked this out or that out. And, you know, we're slowly acquiring all of that knowledge and getting access to some of the stuff.
Yeah, it seems like with as many, for every shooter, there's a separate holster recommendation and separate carry handgun recommendation. So it's definitely something that we definitely want to get to, each one, but it's kind of hard to choose with limited resources which ones to pick up and try, you know, obviously. So you want to talk about it's been a long time, and a lot of things have happened since we last podcast, and one of the things we did was go on a vacation up to the Traverse City area of Michigan, and we spent a couple days there, had a lot of R&R there, and one of the things we had to do, of course, was go shooting. And we went to a wonderful range called, I want to say Shooters.
I don't remember.
Shame on us. It's called Shooters, I think, and it's in the Traverse City area of up north Michigan, northern Michigan, and perhaps the nicest two gentlemen we've ever met welcomed us into the facility and signed us up and showed us all around. It was just very, very clean, very, very, I would say, upscale range. And we just had a blast shooting, no pun intended.
Yeah, that was intended.
And we pulled up some zombie targets, you know, just to add a little fun to it. And
I finally shot 45. Shot the Glock 30 short frame. And I didn't do too bad. It wasn't as scary as I thought it might be. I don't know why, but I've just been intimidated by the 45.
You did very well. And what else should we talk about from that range experience? They were very cool afterwards. After we shot, they showed us quite a few different handgun selections for Dagny. And what was that one that we saw that was odd? The Sky?
Sky.
S-C-C-Y. They made a little 9. We hadn't heard of them before, but
very economical.
Good
to
price.
Handle it, and to me, it seems similar to a Glock in styling, polymer. I don't know as much about the weapons as
Al. Yeah, I hadn't heard of it, so you know, obviously, I was kind of wary of it. You know, not that I know everything, but that if I've heard of it, at least it's been somewhat mainstream. That brings one of our listeners mentioned a Caracal, and I can't remember who that was.
I think that might be another Andrew.
Was it Andrew?
And because it was such a specific question, I didn't throw it in there, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think Andrew. Another shout out to Andrew. Hello. He recommended the Caracal and trying that out, and I think that that's, if you don't know, it's a kind of a... kind of like the Glock, I think, and it's made in the United Arab Emirates. So, you know, think of that, you know, as a possible next generation polymer type pistol. But, you know, if you go by the internet reports, there are some good reviews and some bad reviews on it. So it's either the next big thing or it's the next big flop. I'll reserve judgment until I get my hands on one, but I honestly haven't seen one, and I'd love to at least rent it and take it out to the range and see how it goes. And but anyways, the Shooters in Traverse City, top-notch range. If you're up north Michigan vacationing this summer, like we were, definitely take a few hours of your time and go over there and shoot away. We definitely, at this time, I think, we want to give a shout-out to Giovanni's, which is up north in Michigan as well. That restaurant... introduced me to something called Barbenaise.
Yeah, it's barbecue sauce mixed with mayonnaise, and we got a big basket of
tater tots
and dipping sauce. Oh, it was so good.
It was so good that we actually came home, and when we were entertaining, we whipped up some tater tots with Barbenaise, homemade Barbenaise, and it's just a little bit of, as I say, one part barbecue sauce, three parts mayo, is that how it is?
Yeah.
And you don't, if you like each of those individually, you're going to love them together. Barbenaise, that's our culinary tip of the week, of the month.
That's us gourmets, too.
Well, I'm definitely a foodie, and I know Dagny's a foodie, too, so we love to eat.
That was very different. At the range, they had something that I've not seen at other ranges. On the walls of the stalls, they had a target correction chart for left and right handers, and they also had smaller ones that you could purchase, kind of like it's not a keychain, but it's almost like a little card you can keep in your your range bag, and I bought one because when I was looking at it, Al always says, oh, you know, you see your target, you see where your shots are falling. You're probably doing this or that or the other thing wrong. Overdoing this, underdoing that. And it seemed so accurate. I saw the chart, and I tend to go low and to the right. And so you diagnose it. You look at your target when you're done shooting, and wherever it is around the circle of the target, it kind of tells you, oh, you're up and to the left, then you're doing this wrong, or low to the right like I am, you're doing this wrong. All the way around the circle, it tells you what your problem in your grip or what you're doing wrong. And that was very helpful. That's the last time I shot, so I haven't really gotten to utilize it much, but a lot of insight. And if you do a Google search for images with like chart correction or target correction or something like that, you'll get all kinds. They're all pretty much the same.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I still have a problem with shooting a little to the left. Not too bad, but just a little bit. And I think that has to do with slapping the trigger, I guess it is. It's just I'm just kind of clenching and slapping the trigger a little bit when I get sloppy. Every day I think I get a little bit better, or at least every time I shoot, but definitely that little chart is very useful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, other than that, at the range, I shot the car some more, and it still is having...
Yeah, it still is having its issues, isn't it?
We still haven't reached the full 100 rounds. It was very frustrating again at the range that day, not wanting to fully go into battery after.
I think we're at 200 rounds now.
We're pretty close.
Yeah, I think we are. I don't know. We cleaned it thoroughly before we went shooting, and it's still not functioning where Dagny wants it to. It's performing pretty well for me. For Dagny, I think her grip. Tends to be limp wristing it, and so it's having problems having the slide slot pull back, and a lot of failure to feeds problems with it.
And even getting that first round to chamber, yeah, the failure to feed there, and it's a little... it's just annoying to me because that is my carry weapon. It's the only weapon that I really can carry right now.
Yep.
And I don't carry loaded. And, you know, all right, I'm going to have to fiddle around to even get it to chamber if I would need it.
Right.
Clearly, that's a problem every time. And then it may not see, you know, I'm going to have to be tapping the back of the slide if I need to take more than one shot. You know, there's just a lot about the car at this point that's making me feel like, sure, Semper Portare, but, I mean, the weapon isn't going to do what it needs to do.
Right.
Unless it just scares somebody away when they see it.
Meanwhile, we have two Glocks in the house, which haven't failed yet, so it's hard for her to make that... well, I'm carrying this, which doesn't really work, and then I have two perfectly functioning ones available that I'm not carrying. So we need to kind of figure out how she can carry a Glock 19, or B, maybe we get a smaller baby Glock for her. I'm thinking the 26, or maybe the M&P Shield, something like that. Something where she won't have to worry about is this firearm going to work. And right now, I think when she carries the car, she's thinking, is it going to work, you know? So at this point, it's just a deterrent for her to carry, and hopefully if she ever had to use it, she'd have to rely on it being a deterrent for whoever's warranted her to draw, you know, because we can't rely on if it would actually perform.
Yeah, and a lot of it could be my technique and my grip, and I understand that, so I do need to work on that. It's not necessarily a problem with the car weapon or anything. It's just it may not be working for me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for the size, it fits your frame very well. I mean, it's easily concealable. It's very compact. It fits perfectly in your hands. It has a lot of good to it. It's just we haven't gotten it to what brings us back to our CCW class, functional reliability. That is facet one of any carry pistol. or a revolver, its functionability, you know, is it reliable? It's right now not reliable. Can we get it to the point where it will be reliable? We hope so. If not, I think we're going to have to go to plan B and figure out something else for you.
In the meantime, I did get an ankle holster for that car. Been wearing it for a couple of weeks. It's pretty good. I wear it with my like flared or bootcut jeans, and I thought that it would be no problem. I do have to make sure that I have it oriented very specifically on my calf, because it will print a little bit. It's like a little bit of a square corner through the pant leg if the pants don't fall just right. And it for someone who doesn't know that I'm carrying, it probably just looks like natural folds of the jeans. Yeah. I'm just very aware.
She is very aware. She's almost too aware of it, which is good, but I think she worries a little bit too much, because every time she's put it on in front of me, I haven't been able to see it. I mean, you have to know what to look for specifically to know that it's even a bulge that you'd recognize. So I think you'd really liked it. We let a friend borrow that ankle holster, and he really liked it.
It's very good. It was DeSantis. It was close to like just half the price of a lot of the other ankle holsters.
It's yeah, not, very cool.
Yeah, so that's worked out well.
It had did we talk about it? It had a little like sheepskin or something inside of it, like sheep fur or something like that, to kind of make it soft and to hold in the sweat and let your leg breathe a little bit.
Yeah, it's worked really well. I've worn it outdoors when it's kind of hot, and I mean, I sweat, but it's nothing. It doesn't slide around. The weapon doesn't get damp at all. Mm-hmm. Very good quality.
Yeah, it's good, very price. Good. Very good. I haven't tried it yet, and Appendix has treated me well, and I'm going to continue that. But I also got a chance to try a couple other positions, too, if you want to segue into the next segment.
Al has been mentioning in the last few episodes training, if he gets to go to training, and training that's coming up. So he has completed this training that he's been talking about for such a long time, and I will let him carry on about that and just, you
carry
know,
on. Very good.
Report back to you on it.
Well, let's see, you know, we've been away for over a month, and shame on us for that, but it allowed us some time to at least get from my butt to get some training and some much-needed training. So it was very educational for me. I got to carry and work from an outside-the-waistband holster, and I tried a couple times in the 330 position behind the behind the hip, excuse me. And I also tried, not appendix, because the place that I was wasn't really recommending it, but I did use a position that was a little bit in front of the hip. And if you guys ever watch the show Justified, it's kind of in that position. It's not quite appendix, it's not quite 3 o'clock, it's not 3:30, I'd say it's maybe 2:30, and that position worked really well for me. I would have stuck with that the whole time, but I also worked, depending on the pants, one of my pairs of pants wouldn't accommodate a 2:30 kind of hold, and so I went to 3:30 the other time. So the class was awesome. It was got to shoot my Glock 30. That's what I ended up shooting with, the Glock 30 short frame, and I had the instructor test it to see if it was really accurate, or if my pulling left was actually the sights or anything. And I'm happy to confirm, or maybe not so happy to confirm, that it's perfectly sighted. And so that was really cool to learn, and it was very cool to see how much better the instructor could shoot it compared to myself. And so I shot Winchester White Box 230 grain, 45 ACP. That was our cat. And I also tried PMC Starfire, thinking that that in the past has been really accurate out of my 1911, so I shot a little bit with that. And they both functioned really well. I was very happy with how I performed in the range portion, and it was very cool to get a little bit of training and actually, you know, it amazed me, you know, how much I didn't really know. I wanted to work on my grip. My grips, the support hand grip of my firearm is still not where I want it to be, and I'm not using it enough, I don't think, and that was very evident to me out on the range. And it's definitely, I'm still fighting the between the conscious competence to the unconscious competence, if you're aware of that. I'm definitely still in the conscious competence stage, and I'm putting in my 10,000 hours to get to that stage of unconscious competence, of being in the zone and knowing everything to do without really thinking about it. So, you know, training, they say that firearms and all this physical gear is hardware, and hardware is important, but what's even more important is the software. It's the training. It's the getting your mind where it needs to be, and that was very important. And it was one of the things that was a breakthrough for me, as the instructor said that shooting of the senses is not really about seeing, that of the important senses, it's really the sense of feel. And he meant that in the sense, or at least I took it that he meant it in the sense of actually pulling the trigger control, that even with your eyes closed, you can be very accurate if your form is right, if your sight picture is right, your sight alignment is right, and you just pull that trigger perfectly. So that really struck me as the something that I never thought of, and it's true. Most of my errors are not because I can't get the sights aligned, it's because of that trigger control issue, and I'm still working on it. It's nothing horrible, it's just I want to get it down to where it's, you know, really, really tight groupings. And other than that, you know, I just wanted to say that I will continue to get training, guys, and I'm a little sad that Dagny wasn't there with me, because I think she would have benefited a lot, but I think she wanted me to get the training first and see how I liked it before she jumped in, and if I wanted to join that particular course again, I could do so pretty easily. So had a good time with that, and wish I could talk more about it, but I don't know that it would be right to share the information. So let's see if there's anything else you want to talk about, Dagny. I guess I could talk about, I'm carrying a new, I think I haven't mentioned this, you know, I was carrying Ranger 230 and 230 grain, Ranger T 230 grain plus B ammo, but I also just since the last podcast got some Federal HST 230 grain plus B ammo as well, and I think it's pretty much a consensus that those two brands of defensive ammunition are number one and two. Now, which order you put them in is up for debate, but I think that the popular consensus is that those two brands, Federal and Winchester, are the two fighting for the number one position. Since they're law enforcement loads only, you might be a little bit worried about that. So, technically the companies don't allow civilians to order it, but that's just a company policy. There's no legalities that I'm aware of. There's no legal weight behind that statement. So if you guys can find it online, which is what I did, should be no problem. Yeah, so can't really shoot a lot of it because it's so darn expensive, but what I have shot functioned 100%, and feeds really, really, really well. So other than that, I want to say thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the listener feedback episode. Dagny, you want to say anything?
Yeah, just keep the emails coming. We're sorry if we didn't get to you, or, you know, talk about you on the air.
If we didn't get you this time, keep emailing us. You'll get on the next
time.
We
appreciated all of it, and we're really trying to get more organized on our end with all of our other commitments to, you know, get back to everyone sooner and more thoroughly in our email responses, and We don't want to let any more time like this go by between, you know, other podcasts. A month is way too long.
It definitely is too long, yeah. And it got to the point where we were like, oh, man, it's been so long. We got to put out a doozy. So that kind of pressure was kind of building on ourselves. And we're like, well, we can't just half-ass it. Not that we would, but, you know, it's something. This is very important to us, and as we put more out there, the more we want to provide quality podcasts for you guys. As you join us from work, or while you're driving in your commute, or when you're just out in the backyard working on your house or on your yard, so it means the world to us. And we hope you can hear us this time. Hopefully, the volume issues get better for you guys. And if not, let us know. What else?
Yeah, I'm going to try to manipulate things a little bit more before this one goes up tonight. So hopefully it's even a little bit better. And we're still, of course, looking for the different hardware like we mentioned earlier.
Yep.
But other than that, I think that's just about it.
Yep, we got some pots cooking over here. We're going to sit down to enjoy a nice dinner. But we definitely wanted to get this out to you, our wonderful listeners, tonight. And so thanks for staying tuned to episode 16, Listener Feedback.
Semper Pretire, everybody.